you don't really get to see that more. It kind of reminded me of some other anime characters who tap into their emotions all the time.
Like
Tanjiro, like Deku. Pretty much people that I heavily identify with or enjoy watching, rather. I identify with their shows. So yeah, it was nice to see that side of Mikasa.
I mean, it was always there, but I mean, it just wasn't something that she just had to outwardly show.
Yeah.
It was more shown in her actions than her words.
I can definitely respect that. I mean, Zeke even said as much later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just thought it was sweet, you know, because there are a lot of love stories in anime, but like
this is not, I mean, is it a love story or is it a tragedy? I don't know.
All tragedies are love stories. Just gone terribly wrong.
Okay. Okay.
And I think that this kind of falls into that category. Like, it's definitely, like, I feel like the whole series has shaped up to just be one big love story. And
are we deducing it to that?
Yes. I mean, with all the flashbacks, like, it is ultimately a love story at the end of the day. It just kind of took a while to get there. It's just a love story. Because, you know, all is fair in love and war. And this is war for love. You'll see why.
Mm-hmm. I had to turn my camera on for that one.
I mean, everybody's talking about love. Like, that seems to be the fulcrum in this whole situation.
I mean, I think we talked. Okay. The only reason I'm going to allow that is just because they talk about hate. And love and hate are two sides of the same coin.
They're fulcrum for the entire situation. Like, it's integral.
Okay. But I don't think that's the end line for the story, a love story.
I don't know. I kind of do. Okay. That's where I'm wrong. But okay. What do you think it is? If it's not about love, what's it about?
The apocalypse.
Well, yeah, by the looks of those people's faces at the end of the episode, it certainly was the apocalypse to them.
I think it's an apocalyptic story. I just think, you know, it's one of those things where it's cyclical. Everything is, you know, cyclical, and you have to crush it and start it over. Boom.
Hmm. An apocalyptic love story.
Okay. So this is the last episode of part two.
The story that never ends.
And so today they announced there's going to be a part three.
Never-ending story
in 2023, and I'm just like, I feel like you've been leading me on, like, you know how you thought first base, like, this is great, but then you realize there's second base and you're like, okay, we're gonna get there, and now you're like, bro, what the fuck, there's more. And not in a good way, but in a bad way. Like, bro, stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. I feel blue balled.
No, because they really set us up, because everybody, or at least I was, went into this season like, oh, it's the final season. It's the final.
They said that last time. And it's like, okay, I'll give you two parts. But now three, you're pushing it. You're pushing it. You're relying on our good graces to get this story of wanting to see the story animated. But it's like, bro, another year. Another year.
365 days.
We already had to wait another year for this part to come. And then you didn't even give us as many episodes as you gave last part. And now you're making us wait a whole nother three part for only 8 chapters.
I mean, it's 8-hour long episodes of greatness.
No, they didn't even give us more than 20 minutes this episode. I know that they're not giving us hour long episodes. And it's not even necessary, to be completely honest. No. But if I don't get 16 episodes next part, I'm rioting.
Oh, you may as well get your pitchforks and your tiki torches ready.
I am. I'm standing outside the office.
I don't think we're going to get 16 whole episodes.
That's wishful thinking.
But I am glad that they're not putting it into a movie.
Yeah, I can see that. But I mean, it could have been very profitable.
Yeah, I'm glad they cared more about the art than the profit.
Yeah, but then I saw somewhere that Warner Brothers has an option to live action Attack on Titan. So there's that.
We don't need it.
I know, right?
Live action Attack, nah, I'm good.
I'm already skeptical of this One Piece live action.
I haven't seen it. Oh my gosh.
There's nothing out about it. It's just they've only released the characters and who will be playing each person.
I have seen that. They have this little thing on Instagram where you can find your bounty. And I'm a real member of the Straw Hats. My bounty is 330 million berries.
How did that happen?
I use the filter. I use, and that's what it came out to. You know,
it's like, because you're black.
I'm a real pirate out here, you know. I'll be in these oceans, in these seas, raising my bounties viciously, you know.
Okay. Moving on. So, speaking of other anime, since we're going to be on a break for another foreseeable future, are there any, what are your, like, three animes that you're, like, gonna be, you know, these are the next three that you're gonna watch?
See, knowing
the or next... mangas you already,
okay, I can throw a manga that I'm looking forward to reading in there. It's Chainsaw Man.
I've heard
really great things about it, so I'm like, okay, let me read it, especially since it's getting animated sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see like what is hitting up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really looking forward to later this year when Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon comes back out. Mm-hmm. That fourth season's coming out. And then probably between Demon Slayer, because I'm getting caught up on that, and Realist Hero, because I'm that's still out right now, and I'm really enjoying that one too. Mm-hmm. So those are probably the ones I'm looking forward to most. And whenever My Hero Manga comes back,
is it like a long break or something?
Oh no, I just took a break today, so I'm kind of sad.
Oh, like a week breaker. Gotcha. I hate when they have, man. I'm sick.
Like, I'm into the story, and then it's just like, okay. And I found out like yesterday or Friday that it was taking a break for the week, and I was like, really, after this, like, you're gonna leave me on this kind of cliffhanger? You I got a little bit upset, but you know what, just like, the only solace that I take from this AOT break is that the animators get a little bit of rest and relaxation, and they probably need it, especially all this hard work that they be putting in. So we can give the illustrators a week break, and I guess we can give the AOT animators a year break again, but you know, they could just get back to the lab. So we gotta wait a year. But okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
Well, you know, One Piece is a forever ending story, but since I'm caught up on the manga, I'm really excited just because, you know, a lot of stuff has been developing in the last few weeks with the manga, and it's kind of like setting the tone for the end. And, you know, it's a 25 year long thing. So it's probably about 5 to 7 more years left, but the story is being set up for the ending, which is pretty cool. So I've been excited reading that. I don't fashion myself as a manga person, but one thing that I've been reading over the this has been something that I didn't expect to enjoy as much as I have, and it's Spy Family. And I saw that the anime was coming out soon, and so I watched the trailer and I was like, this looks stupid, but it looked good. And so I said, let me read a few pages of the manga. And so I read a few chapters and I just put it down, but then I picked it back up again the other day and I was tripping. Like, it's so funny, and it's just like, it's crazy. I would recommend that one to people.
I found the one with like the little girl and her two parents.
Yeah, the little girl's a psychic, the dad's a spy, and the mom's an assassin. And yeah,
I've seen the advertising for that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I was like, this looks goofy. But like, as you're reading, it's like, it's goofy for sure, but it's like, you know, a serious tone to it. So that's like the funny part, because like, they're trying to be serious, but it's always some goofy shit like that's happening in the background. So I enjoy that kind of humor. So yeah, that's been like, I was reading it for like 2 hours this morning, and I was just like, I don't usually be like, oh, let me read the manga. I'd be like, let me turn on the anime. So this was one that it really surprised me. But my third one, I don't know. I just feel like I'm just finding new stuff to watch. And now that I have a Crunchyroll account, I just be finding new stuff to watch. So I think
it's a password for that, because nope. One Piece is getting off of Hulu. So
it's not even caught up on Hulu anyway. So
I mean, but yeah, so I still have like 2 more seasons left on Hulu.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, well, when you catch up, I'll consider it.
How am I going to catch up? It goes off in 11 days.
It's not going to go off in 11 days. They do that all the time, and then it actually doesn't, because they did it to Fairy Tail. Oh, speaking of Fairy Tail, shout out to Eden Zero. That's something I randomly ended up watching on Netflix, and I was like, I don't want a Fairy Tail knockoff, but Loki is better than Fairy Tail. And I really enjoy Fairy Tail. And I was just like, this is fire. And then I started reading the manga, and it's really fire. Okay. So I got a lot.
Okay. A nice little list right there.
Mm-hmm. So are you ready to get into the review?
Yeah, let's get into this episode.
Okay. So the episode opens up with Mikasa on the ship. Daydreaming, I would suppose, but saying Eren has changed, and you know, everyone else has been saying that he's changed, and then it jumps back to pre-Marley touchdown, and she's watching him stare off into space, and she's contemplating if this is the Eren that's always been, you know, if he hasn't changed, he's just who he always has been, and if so, why is she so drawn to him? And I'm just like, girl, I don't know, be them bad boys.
See, she was so cute the way she kind of approached him on that boat, like when she was wondering that, because I wonder how oblivious he was to her feelings for him, but it was really adorable how she was just looking at him. He was just looking at the other side of the sea.
Yeah, I wonder if they were just keeping their feelings down. Just because, you know, they are family, you know, did grow up together. So, I don't know.
And it was really interesting.
Yeah. So then we see all the OG scouts on the ship, and they're we see Connie talking about, you know, I can't believe we outside the walls. And John like, hey, bro, don't talk about the walls. It's out of public. He like, oh, yeah, my bad, my bad. And so then you got Sasha over here like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is outside the walls. And he like, bro, shut up.
John like, and we can't take these niggas nowhere.
Literally cannot. And so Hanji comments on how, you know, they're back on their original mission, which is scouting. And so I thought that was very cute because, you know, these are the OG scouts.
Yeah, that was all really cute. I really enjoyed that scene. As you know, I've been waiting for this episode.
Yes, you have.
So to see it all come out how it did was really cute. Like, after when they get to the dock and you just see all of this life going on around them, and how like Oni Capone is talking to him, and he's like, yeah, what do you think of Marley's biggest port? And there's like a obvious shock and awe on their face, like when they're arguing over if the car is a cow or a horse.
Mm-hmm. Then they see like the goats get taken off the ship, and you know, so there's these like the most people they've been around.
Yeah, like all the innocent stuff, like the dude that was taking a picture of the couple, you know. Mm-hmm. Like it made you think back to who they were before all of this war against Marley stuff, like when they were still like knowledgeless about the world in large parts. Like they made these allies in the Ozzie Vetoes and all these other people who wanted to get back to against Marley, but at the end of the day, like, even though Jean doesn't want to be considered a bumpkin, they're essentially country bumpkins, you know?
Yeah.
They've never been to the big city. Mm-hmm. So as Hanji and Sasha and Connie are trying to feed a car a carrot, which Levi called 100% correctly. What you mean they're going to weigh? They're actually buying carrots? Like, that was kind of funny.
It was.
But there's this whole undertone because Aaron is enemy number one and everybody already knows that. So Armin and Mikasa are like, yo, you can't just be out here just looking off into space. You know, we got to make sure that you're protected. And then Aaron says something, and especially because this is all kind of running the way they set this episode up, because originally it was just a flashback that was a different type of flashback, but they set mm-hmm. this all up in Mikasa's memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like the perspective is a little bit different than it was in the manga.
Right.
But because Mikasa's thinking back on this, and she's thinking, like, was Aaron always this way? He said, hey, this is the other side of the sea, isn't it? And if you remember back to, what was that, season 3? When Aaron was like, so if our enemies are on the other side of the sea, if we kill them, then we'll finally be finished. And that's kind of one of those things, like, where Mikasa's thinking, like, huh, was Aaron always like this? Like, was that what was always on his mind? Or did something change?
Because she was looking at him hella worried.
She was. And, like, Armin was even kind of confused about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So this, to see they're reacting to that in the course of Mikasa's memory is kind of interesting, like the perspective that it gives you. So after that, then Levi, who, I mean, he's essentially the parent of the group because Hanji's over there trying to feed somebody carrots, trying to feed car carrots, rather. And Levi's like, hey, come on, stick with the group, especially you. And that's when you see the OG scouts start to kind of experience Marley and what it has to offer. So Sasha, being the hungriest person alive, she goes mm-hmm. and she discovers ice cream. Now, as an ice cream lover myself.
Yeah, you are.
I understand what Sasha was feeling when she had that first taste of ice cream. She's like, it's cold, it's delicious. And she let Connie try it, and Connie was like, oh shit, this is the best thing I've ever had.
I mean, and I get that. Especially if you don't have like sugar regularly. I get it.
Yeah. Like, I'm fasting off of sugar for Lent right now. And this episode really made me want some ice cream. The way that Sasha tore into it, and then John and Connie was like, yeah, I want some too. Like, it was just really so satisfying, you know? Mm-hmm. Because they've went through all of their trials and their tribulations, but they're still getting to enjoy themselves. And while that's going on, you have Hanji talking to Oinkalong, and she's like, nobody must see that, like their whole display of being crazy over ice cream and think that they're island devils. They're just going to think that there's somebody who hasn't had ice cream before. Like, even the shopkeeper didn't consider it weird. He was like, oh, it's your first time having ice cream. Go ahead and enjoy it. But if they said that they were from Paradis, then it would have been a whole different situation, you know? Which, when you consider how that works, it's really just messed up that they discriminate against these people just based off of what they think. But it's they just enjoy the simple things in life, like ice cream. So, John is trying to get Armin Mikasa to get some ice cream, and then this creepy little crown comes up behind Levi and he thinks he's a child.
Very creepy.
Like that honestly, when I was watching the scene, it kind of gave me some real creep vibes, because he, like, as they zoom in, he's like, I'm talking to you, and he's up behind that boy's ear with and I'm just like, let it please stop. Like, Levi looks uncomfortable because Levi's not a child, and I don't think he wants any type of candy.
I mean, he is 5 feet, so I need it.
Yeah, so they're running around and they're enjoying the little treats like a carnival. And that's when Sasha mentions Niccolo, because, you know, that was her. Like, honestly, and there probably does exist out there, but there's probably some fan fiction with those two shipped up. But they're going around and they're just buying all these snacks and all of these sweets. And it is really cool how this episode, like, even throughout this part of the episode, they're still showing like the title sequence and all of that. So they kind of gave us all of our money's worth of minutes this week for the most part. Mm-hmm. So as Mikasa's offering Aaron some ice cream, Aaron, he remembers it from his dad's memories, and just that Eldians rarely got to eat any. So even amongst Eldians, like, there's still this thing, like, where they don't get the basic access that this OG group is getting to the outside world. And that's when it kind of relates back to Mikasa's memory. And you're like, maybe none of us realized it, or we just really didn't want to. So, yeah, that kind of ends their foray a little bit. And they go deeper into the market.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, as they're going deeper into the market, we see people, some ugly people. And then we see Levi catch this little boy's hand. And we saw this little boy earlier running around the market, knocking people over, being a little rambunctious. And so we see him with somebody's purse in his hand. And Levi said, that ain't your purse. And, you know, boy shook because, like, everybody else is around him and looking. And so as soon as somebody, like, you know, this ain't your purse, they like, oh, get that migrant. and they just start talking crazy to this little boy, like talking about smash his hand for, and he won't pickpocket again, string him up, make an example out of him. I'm like, oh my God, like this escalated so quickly.
So quickly.
I'm like, this is a kid. I mean, kids do stuff all the time, and this just could have been handled so much better. But the fact that like everybody's picking on this little kid, like, see, that's crazy.
When they start talking about like, because it's really their thirst for penal punishment is really just disgusting. And then when they start talking about how he was a migrant and how he could have been a subject of Ymir and all that stuff, started using the hard R. And
oh yeah,
there's a lot of hard R's throughout this episode,
basically. And then you know Sasha like, hey, you know it's cool, I got my purse back, and they're like, no, we gotta teach this little nigga a lesson.
It's not even about you.
Your fuck, that was her purse. Like, I'm just like, oh my gosh. And you know they're talking about how scared they are because of the migrants and stuff like that. And then, you know, Levi go and pick him up and take him on out. And they're like, hey, what you doing? And, you know, here Hanji come to the rescue. She's like, oh, my crazy family. And, you know, this is his big sister. And they like, bullshit. And Levi like, run. And then you got all these folks just dipping. And people who was on the out, like, they probably like, I didn't even know they was all with them. You got all these folks dipping off with the little boy. And yeah, I was just like, okay. So then they start running, and I'm like, how far did they run to? Like, how far was this place?
They got the fuck out of Dodge.
No, for real. But I'm sure they are in better shape than the people who would have been chasing them.
I mean, absolutely. But what I did think was interesting in that scene, and it's mentioned several times, you know, like the blood testing.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they talk about as more people get blood tested, the other Eldians pretty much got out or whatnot. Like, I really, and this might just be kind of my nerd part, but I really want to know like where this technology and purpose of this technology came from. Now that everybody's just blood testing, and that's raised been like a huge raise in discrimination. Like, imagine if we couldn't really tell who was black or not. So they started blood testing people to determine if he was black. Like, I don't know. It's just, it kind of creeped me out that there was this technology specifically for discrimination.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you don't even have to have technology to discriminate. Just think about, you know, when black people after slavery, you know, when they were 1/8 black, you were still black. So, you know, you still got discriminated against. You still got to, you know, have to live this same life.
Big, you a nigga.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, people tried to pass. And that's what literally people were doing in this time frame too, trying to pass. Until they got caught.
Yeah. Until they get pulled up to their daily shit, their yearly physical. And this time we got the new and improved blood test.
Yeah. And so after this happened, you know, they run off, they dip, and then they see, they finally get to a place where they can rest. And Levi, like, where'd the little boy go? The little boy then dipped off with Levi, change. And so
he was banging him as he did it.
Like, you know, thank you for all your, he basically thanked him for getting him away. And I thank you for giving me your money to take it back to your, my family so I can get drunk later on. But you know, he's like, you know, that wasn't nothing. They wasn't even worried about it. But Aaron was still staring off, looking at the little boy as he went away. And, you know, Mikasa, you know, this is Mikasa episode. She looking at him as he's looking at the distance. And so I'm like, so she's going to keep on looking at him while he's looking away.
Man, there's that love, you know, that unrequited love. Feeling
right the there. Unrequited is interesting. So after that situation, we go to the Azuma Beto's estate when, you know, she apologized for the little boy pickpocketing, saying that, you know, the subjects of Ymir have fled from the zones. And I'm assuming she meant like the internment zones.
Yeah.
And she talks about the height of the Ildian Empire, and, you know, how people used to be proud to be subjects of Ymir, and then the tides turn. And she just basically told them that it was going to be hard for them to try to change these people's mind, you know, because people have already put in their mind that they are the island devils and they are the reason that all of this is, you know, to be in the first place. So they're really not in any position to discuss anything, but, you know, they don't know that yet. And so Hanji, you know, lets them know, like, she wants to meet with them, but she wants to see what they're gonna talk about at this little forum thing and stuff, and she wants to make peace with them. And Miss Azuma Beto is like, I want to do whatever we can to help you with that. And so but she do, you know, let them know it's gonna be difficult. But then why Aaron dip in the middle of the conversation? Where'd he go? What?
Aaron went to go experience more of Marley because he was tired of hearing about the doom and gloom bullshit. When Armin was talking about, like, yeah, even if, because Armin, what did he say? He's talking about, yeah, I mean, if we don't try peace, that means we got to go along with Zeke's plan. And I don't know about to listen to him. Like, I already know that Levi's obviously said that. And we're going to have to sacrifice the story and her children. So I feel like once Aaron was hearing all of this, Aaron already knew.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I'm good, G. I don't need to hear this. And he wants to go find something else to do.
Yeah. That is very interesting. Well, just because of the placement of, like, the story and stuff in the episode.
You said we wasn't going to get no more story.
I didn't say that. I just said she wasn't going to be a heavy part of the story. Like, she was not going to be in the story like these OGs are a part of the story. That's all I meant. Like, I knew she was going to be in the story, but not, you know, active. She, little mama's not active. That's all I meant.
Yeah, she being a little mama.
Yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, so we find Aaron.
Yeah, we find Aaron at the top of the hill, looking out over everything. Because, well, actually, not we don't find Aaron. Mikasa finds Aaron at the top of the hill. And she's like, nigga, what the fuck was you doing? Like, did you forget that you're the enemy's primary target? Even though I don't really think the enemy knows that they're there. They're just all super conscious. And when she pulls up on Aaron, he's wiping his eyes, like he's clearly crying. And he looked down at the boy from the market. And she's like, what is going on? Aaron's like, nothing yet. And then he gets all pensive. And he's like, this is a whole refugee camp because that's what they're looking over. And it's like, they're pretty much just like us. Like, one day, everything changed. Everything that we had was taken from us. All of their freedoms, they were stolen. Like, he's drawing all these juxtapositions between the parody folk and the people in the refugee camp. And then in the middle of this, he's like, so Shadi, why do you care about me so much? Like, Mikasa, like, do you love me because I saved you when we were kids, or because we're family? And that caught Mikasa all the way off guard. She was like, whoa, what are you talking about?
And she was stumbling over her words.
Oh, she was blushing. Like, and Aaron asked her like three times, and he was like, what am I to you? And you just seen in his eyes, like, the longing, the hope that she felt the way about him that he felt about her. And neither one of them to this point, at any point, have said directly that they have feelings for one another. Like, not any flashbacks, not any internal monologues. Like, they said that they love one another, but the type of love, you know, whether it's romantic love or friendly love or family love, it hasn't been established. And he's like, what am I? And Mikasa, she just finally spits it out. She says, you're family. And by that, like when she's saying that he's family, I do not think that she meant like brother and sister type of family, but out of the options she gave, that he gave her, that was the most appropriate response, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, she feels this for him, but she still can't bring herself to tell him. So that's when they're kind of interrupted by one of the guys, and he's speaking some type of foreign language, but they don't know it. And he's offering them two drinks. And then the rest of the OGs pull it, well, not the rest of them, but their friends, Sasha, Connie, John, they pull up.
Armin.
They pull up like, nigga, where the fuck you been at? And Aaron's like, oh, great, perfect timing. Like, you just interrupted our romantic moment. And Mikasa is kind of thinking nothing of it. So they go down to the little tent town with the smiling old guy, which is, this is a smiling old guy from, remember when we seen those flashbacks and I got upset?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, if you would have showed that, which it still makes sense if you would have showed that, like, I still don't like it. I still don't like the setup. But anyway.
I told you it was going to come later.
I mean, but it didn't, it would have been more impactful, you know? I would have been feeling like, I mean, if I didn't already know, I would have been feeling like, oh man, I feel sorry for this friend that they made. Instead of, who's this fucking random old guy? I mean,
then nothing has happened yet.
In the words of Aaron. So
Sasha throwing up.
they was about to get crunk because the old guy got them, poured them a drink, and Aaron took a sip. Aaron downed the whole thing. And then the rest of them was like, okay, let's go. And after everybody had that cup, they was like, turn up. Like, John and Connie singing, Mikasa and Sasha. Mikasa over there drunk, leaning against Sasha. Sasha over there drunk, still drinking.
She was the drunkest of them all.
Oh, Sasha. Sasha knows how to partay, okay?
Like, well, she did.
She would. R.I.P.
I was glad to see her this episode, though.
I was so happy to see her. It made me sad, and then they had to replay that. But
they did.
It made me sad to see her, but I was just happy to see her being the fullest her. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like they was drinking.
I agree.
Like it was worth it. I feel like this is probably our last Sasha interaction ever.
Like, I doubt
it. Well, no, like where she's like fully there, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
So it was nice to see her being her, and like she still injected her personality. So it was all to see, like, nice to see while they was drinking the liquor down for the last drop. Like, and then like you had the boys roughhousing. And then they realized that they was out of liquor, so they went and got more. And then they brought back more people, and they were just all enjoying themselves. Like, it turned into a big party. Like, Sasha was forcing liquor down people's throats that she ain't even know.
Even little kids. I was like, she got the little kids drunk.
Well, it might be acceptable in their culture.
True. It could be, if it's a big party.
Because they was going all night, like all night. And it was just so nice to see them all having fun because we haven't really seen them have fun since like season 2 or something like that. And
before they knew the truth.
Before they got down to that basement.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you remember when the whole show was about getting
before they met Zeke.
Oh man, he came through and ruined everybody's lives. Everybody. But the responsible adults pull up after everybody's long passed out. Hanji and Levi and Elaine Capone pull up to the tent, and they see everybody pretty much drunk. And that takes us to the next day.
Mm-hmm. So the next day we see this white haired man that's talking about he needs to seek aid for the refugee subjects of Ymir scattered across the world. And so he's talking about, you know, it's not their fault. They're not Eldians. They don't believe in the empire's ideologies. You know, they just are products or victims of interbreeding by Eldia. And so he was like, the real people, terrorists.
This is when the Ardars come through heavy.
Right. He was like, the real terrorists are the island devils who fled to the island 100 years ago. They're our true enemies. And so, you know, everybody's like, yes, they are our true enemies. And it's so sad because, you know, all of our gang is just looking so sad and so, like, defeated because they didn't get an opportunity to meet with these folks because they gonna probably die on sight if they even, like, said, like, who they were and stuff. And so after that, Aaron dipped forever.
I mean, yeah. He just got called a nigger to his face. True. By some people he thought was going to be his family.
Well, I don't think he ever thought that, because if anybody knew. He just was going along to see if something could change. She was like, I'm going to go with the flow if y'all can do something. But I don't think y'all can. And they didn't. And so, you know, they left them where they were. And, you know, Mikasa being all sad. And then they had to read the letters from him. And Mikasa was wondering if there was any other choice that could have been made instead of all these decisions that, you know, followed from landing on Marley. And so, you know, what if she would have gave Aaron a different answer when they were on that hill? Like, all of the events in Marley, I guess, you know, she considers contributing to Aaron's final decision. And so after that,
do you think if she would have told him that she loved him, he would have reacted different?
No.
Really? Like, there's no chance.
I guess the only thing I can see, if she said she loved him, I think the only response he would give would be for her to kill him. Hmm. So to prevent all this from happening in the first place. Okay. Because, like, what did you have something else?
No, because, I mean, I'm not sure, because him giving her the ultimatum to kill him to stop all this from happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I wonder if he could have been more persuaded to peace if he knew that he had the rest of his short life waiting. Mikasa was going to be waiting for him. Like, if he knew that those feelings were in fact quieted, if he knew that she felt the same way he did, he might have approached that.
I just don't feel like there were many options for him, because he knew she wouldn't go along with this plan. That's why he didn't tell her. And so, you know, if the other option was her telling him that, you know, she loved him and she wanted to be with him, do you still think he would have went through with this?
No. I feel like he would have came up with a different plan.
Exactly. But I don't think he would have ended up being still no euthanization plan.
Oh, no. Nobody was going for Zeke's plan. To be clear, I don't think anybody would have went for Zeke's plan. Nah.
Okay. So then after, you know, Mikasa asking this question, this goes into Aaron thinking to himself, when did everything start? And, you know, he's seeing flashbacks of, like, the peak from Ymir's childhood story, you know, Grisha, him as a baby with Grisha, his childhood, you know. But, you know, he said it's just his will. It none of this really matters. And so, you know, it's showing the series of events and how it happened on Aaron's end, his perspective to me. I feel like it swapped, you know, it went from Akasa's perspective to Aaron's perspective. And mm-hmm. so, like, you know, we see how Yelena approached him and how Flock was, you know, listening behind the walls. And then, you know, she's telling him about the euthanization plan. And then he's telling Flock, like, yeah, we're going to go along with the plan, but I'm really going to kill everybody. And Flock, you know, I feel like, if anything, based on, like, Flock's reaction to Aaron, I feel like Aaron radicalized Flock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, right. Flock was, you know, distraught after Commander Irwin's death, but I feel like Aaron kind of poked at that, and yeah. that's how he became the fucking demon dog he is now.
Man, you know, when I was looking at that scene and seeing that, because seeing Flock react so surprised to the prospect of death as we, I mean, in comparison to now where he celebrates it,
mm-hmm.
It, like you said, it really does feel like Aaron picked the right idiot and just pushed those buttons. I don't know, because remember when Flock was cussing them out?
Which time?
Well, before Flock became Aaron's lapdog, at the ceremony.
Uh-huh.
When all of that was going on, because Aaron was so shocked by it. Like, everybody was so shocked by it. So I feel like...
When he said that he shouldn't have picked Armin?
Well, when he said that he shouldn't have picked Armin, when he said that y'all need to be real about what it's like to be a scout, that way the rest of these people ain't just following y'all, going out willy-nilly, and then dying by a giant monkey. Like, when all of that was going on, when Flock mm-hmm. was customized about that, I really feel like that's when Aaron kind of noticed his weakness. For that.
I can see that. But after, you know, he tells Flock his plan, he goes to see his boo Historia. And, you know, Historia's like, you know, I'll do whatever for the country. And then he tells Historia what he really wants to do. He wants to bury this hate-filled civilization and stop the cycle. And, you know, Historia's like, you're wrong. Can't do that. And he was like,
voice.
He was like, I definitely am. And she was just like, I'm going to do everything I can to stop you. He's like, bro, just chill. I'm going to wipe your memories when I'm done. And she was like, you can't. And he was like, I can't, because guess what? You saved me back then. And so I don't know if that was a taunt, because it's like, hey, bitch, if you didn't save me, I wouldn't be here fucking shit up now.
Yeah. See, I think it, I'm not sure if it was a taunt, but it was kind of funny.
He said the worst girl in the world, the girl who saved me. And so it's like,
but I mean, what's that call back to what
you said yourself? Yes, I agree. But I mean, it's like one of those things I feel like, how do I explain this? Like, would she call herself the worst girl in the world again for letting him live to the point where he does this?
Huh. I see that.
I don't know. I feel like it's some next level fuck mind fuckery. Because she was like, well, maybe I can get pregnant. Was she trying to get pregnant with his baby?
I think she is pregnant with his baby.
Okay.
I think that they did do the sex.
Okay. I think so too. Because I feel like the manga made it more clear she was asking to have his baby. But I feel like this did not make it as clear.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that whole scene when he was explaining to her, because, and she doesn't get lumped in with the scouts as much. Like, whenever the people are thinking about the scouts, they don't really think about our queen, Historia. Just in general, because her friend, and it's kind of funny how Ymir and Reiner was going back and forth over her, and she ended up with Aaron, who Ymir and Reiner both hate. kind of funny. But, because, you know, he cares about her too. He made as much clear, and him doing all of this to protect her kind of doesn't feel as talked about, because the scouts, like, everybody in their scout class, like, even Armin was like, yeah, they want to sacrifice Historia, da 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 da. But I feel like the reason he was talking to her is because he does have some level of trust and some level of love and respect for her. Doesn't really get discussed as much as his love for the Sasha, Connie, John trio, or his two, that little rat pack, you know? So I thought that that was a really sweet moment to include, if nothing else.
And so then, you know, we cut to Zeke and Aaron, and Aaron is asking about the Ackerman headaches, and Zeke, you know, he was like, I don't know nothing about that. And he was like, you know, they instinct activate, but I don't know nothing about no headaches, man. And he was just like, you know, he was like, what do you say, you're protect the host? He like, man, this girl love you. Pretty that's much. All she's trying to do. I mean, yeah, he was like, she want to kill Titans because she like you.
Here's some brotherly advice.
Right. I was like, that was funny, because that was like a very brotherly moment. Because I feel like Aaron is just so desensitized, just because, you know, he's had a really rough life. And so I feel like he doesn't even know what a romantic relationship even looks like to even think about, you know, what it would look like for him.
Do you think? Because he did witness his father and his mother. And he thought that Aaron's father and mother were more loved than their father, than Grisha and his mom, right? Do you think that because Aaron knows that it was at least a little bit fake, that he doesn't really consider that a show of what actual romantic relationship looks like?
I just don't feel like he thought about that. And then the fact that his mother, I do think that plays a part, because that was technically his dad's second family day. He didn't even know his dad. He was a second family. And so, you know, it could be like Grisha was playing a part. But I also feel like that just wasn't his, something he was able to process. Especially because I feel like trauma can block out things as well. And like seeing your mother get eaten in front of you,
that'll do it.
That will do it. I think that it's one of those things that, you know, he may have blocked out that relationship just because the connotations related to it.
Grisha's but, the father of the year.
Well, that just, like, you know, was a farce. And he just met, this the first woman he met when he got into town, and she gonna ask no questions because she was a waitress. And she like, oh, a doctor, I'm a waitress, okay. She had to be a waitress no more. So, I mean, she obviously wasn't asking that many questions. Where your family? Like, maybe didn't ask no questions.
He really did.
She said, stay at home wife, say less.
I mean, that's how you do it.
But yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that was just where he was looking until it was like staring him in the face. You know, how much Mikasa has protected him, especially because when the stakes have gotten higher, she still didn't, you know, pull through. So, Aaron says, you know, Zeke like, so what you gonna do? And he like, I mean, I have 4 years left on this, you know, earth at best. He was just like, so I just want them to live and be happy. And, you know, this is happening. Like, as it's happening, he looking at his story, talking about, can she get pregnant? He cutting off his leg. He's stabbing a bullet in his eye. Like, a lot was going on.
actor
during this perspective of Aaron. And so it just gives you kind of more insight on like where his mindset was during this time frame when he was, you know, he had alienated his friends and stayed on Marley. Just interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny how he's talking about he wanted his friends to live. But mm-hmm. I mean, Armin was also included in that picture. Armin got like, what, 6 years tops? But
he got a little more than that.
I mean, Armin.
But not that much.
He's living on borrowed time too.
Yes, I agree.
But it was really, like, first of all, that scene when he was mutilating himself was very gruesome. I know AOT loves that type, but like, it really just showed how committed Aaron was to this whole thing. Like, that was kind of cool to see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He really does love them, like Mikasa especially, but I feel like he does love everybody, like all his friends. And he said several,
Oh, I was just going to say Armin was nestled next to his head too after that little, the refugee camp night, little party night. I said, look at them all cuddled up, a thruple.
Just like they used to be when they was little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's like, and when I say that this is a love story, like, I do think that Aaron's love for all of his friends, like, Mikasa is on a special pedestal. But for all of his friends, because I think he considers them all family. And his love for them has kind of driven him to do this because he wants them to be happy and whatnot, you know?
Well, they're kind of family because his family is dead.
I mean, yeah. But still. So, yeah. It's interesting to see how that played out.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get some more bird imagery, and a bird comes up onto the screen from where Aaron's memories, and then it flies up over the sea, and we see some random general commander talking about how every large cannon that exists in the world is gathered here today for the dearly beloved Aaron Yeager. And if this doesn't work, then
we got nothing.
Humanity is screwed. And they're just, it's like the somber mood. You just have all of these ships lined up. You see different ethnicities, and everybody is sweating because they just see this cloud of people or this cloud of steam, and they're like this rumbling or whatever. Which it's incredible that these people came together. It's like, did some people believe the Eldians and then it happened? So the general, he's like waiting. And honestly, I don't know what you're waiting for because he should have been fired. So they fire this barrage of shots off. And you see that the Titans are in fact swimming. They're not tall enough to just walk across the whole ocean, I guess. And they up there doing a smooth little front crawl. And like, they're not even using their arms, just straight leg motions. So you know that they got them strong legs. So they shoot one barrage, and then they're like, okay, we're done. And I'm just like, bro, you have no idea. So after they shoot this barrage and they kill some of the Titans, like they're in little bits and pieces, they see some more coming. And I'm like, nigga, you should have kept shooting, like in my head. Like, one is not going to be enough. Like, you got to keep shooting. Like, you should have been shooting before you shot, honestly. So then the Titans come through with all of their steam, and it blows up the boats, and people just start literally melting from the heat. And you just see all of the shots as the people start dying, and it pans to where, like, on the ground of Marley. And honestly, truly, I don't know why two things happened. Like, I don't know why they, A, stayed around after they seen the boats come. And I don't know why, B, they kept they only fired once when they got there, because at that point, if you're gonna die, you may as well just go out like a G. You may as well keep firing. Like, you already see one of the Titans ain't got his head. Like, if you ain't started running before you shot off them shots, you should have been running. But they all just start running as the Titans get closer. And one thing that I really like about the way that the shots were in this episode is that the perspective, like, you don't really get to see how big the Titans are until they're, like, up close on something. Like, when they're in the water taking the cannons, they were, like, kind of small relative to everything else. But you clearly couldn't just tell necessarily. But then when they get up to the cannons, they step on it and you just see the big footprint, the whole cannon is like smashed. So then as they pulling up on Marley, and we still don't get my Titan cam that I want. We kind of got like a little miniature Titan cam, but not like the Titan cam I wanted. They pull up on Marley and they like, that's the attack Titan. And I don't know why they're so surprised.
They're like, that's him. That's the attack Titan.
It's like, yeah, who else did you think was coming?
I thought that was just funny.
And they are they scared the fuck. And there's this flashback when Aaron's mother got eaten. And he was like, I'll wipe out every last one of them. And he's behind this whole army of colossal Titans. And he's thinking about, in part, what they did to his mom. And this is kind of where Titan Cam zooms around, and we get like the aerial shot of the Titans stepping on the buildings. And I really like the different camera angles that come through this. But then part two of the final season ends just like that, with a Titan stepping down on your face. And now we gotta wait till next year for part three. And then 2024 for part four. And yeah, they're about to get one piece of money for saying how long they could just sit around.
Okay.
Well, no, when I say like keep it going, because it should not take 3 years to have the final season.
You shouldn't. And you shouldn't call it a final season. You're going to keep on making me wait years until you finally finish.
Like, what? Like, if I had not read the manga, like, actually, now that I've read the manga, I feel much better about reading the manga since they want to play with my emotions like this.
But like, maybe they're playing with your emotions because they have license to change the ending if they want to.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to do that. I actually like the ending from what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Who gave them license to change the ending?
They bought it.
I mean, okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so manga differences.
The manga differences that I noticed were mainly in, because what was the chapter that they skipped?
I don't remember.
In that chapter, I want to say it was like, I'll look it up and it'll be in the show notes. But after they skip that chapter, the things that I really noticed that were different were more like the perspectives of things. Like, we already talked about how the way they inserted that chapter was through Mikasa's memories and some of Aaron's memories. But the way that things were kind of like drawn, like, in the manga, you get to see Hanji and them trying to actually feed a horse. You get to see like some of the different ways that things looked and were working. So those were like the main differences that I've seen in the manga and the anime, but it was mostly there, panel for panel, from what I've seen.
Yeah, I agree. But the perspective thing was really big because I feel like that gave more oomph to the watching the experience than the manga did. But I also don't like how they separated the chapters for this episode. But, you know, creative license, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Because, like, even when they did in this episode, like, with the parts of 130 that they put in there, like, it was, I don't really appreciate. I mean, I kind of do appreciate, but just the way it was jumping around. Like you said, creative license. But it was just, it made for a different experience. And I think I like the manga sequencing better. Mm-hmm. But I definitely do understand how this kind of goes to a viewing experience, just because it does make sense from that experience. But I don't know. I still think they could have done sequencing a little bit different. But we got to wait till next year to see how they finish it out. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the spirit of all the memories and flashbacks, and with this being the last episode for this part of the series, what was your favorite memory from this season, either part one or two? Or anime as a whole?
I don't know. I'm a meathead, so one of my favorite scenes this season was definitely Mikasa killing all of the Jaegerists on the roof. That was probably like my favorite this part. And like my favorite, one of my favorite overall was Levi versus Zeke outside of Shiganshika season 3. So
definitely up there.
Those are kind of my favorites. What about you?
My favorite this season was probably, and it might be a little bit sick, but when Aaron was talking bad to Griffin and he was telling him, like, stand up and go kill that over there, in large part just because of all the memes that it gave us. I really appreciate that. Also thought it was funny. How Grisha was being blamed for being the bad guy when Aaron was a bad guy that made Grisha the bad guy. So I kind of thought that was funny. But I really also, just the depth of that scene. And then overall, even in the earlier seasons, just when they were trying to lure out the female titan, and then they ended up in those woods, and that's where they kind of cornered Annie, and then like that whole fight scene with Annie and the scouts, and Levi was doing his thing, and Mikasa was about to go in her, and Aaron was even kind of doing his thing, even though he hadn't mastered how to do his titan stuff yet. I really did enjoy the mental space that put me in at that point in time. Because I did not know it would get all the way out here, you know?
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
But, you got anything else before we close out till sometime in 2023, maybe?
No. I think I said everything in the beginning.
All right. Where can the people find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at PrimaYana, and you can find me on my other podcast called Kinda Complicated Podcast.
Check out Kinda Complicated because you can hear one of our voices in the meantime.
And I'll be talking about my dating stories on there. Well, they're not good. So if you want to laugh, come on there and listen. And where can we find you?
You can find me on socials at Chuck_Mate_. And then Yeah, you can also just find me probably at a brunch near you in DC. But that's about it.
With your brunch boots.
Nice brunch boots. I just bought some new ones today.
Oh, Lord.
Got to get ready for the season.
Well, you know you're alpha, so got to step out in your uniform.
Hey, listen, Cuban Links is next.
I'm sure. You in DC.
Listen, I've been saving up for them. I can't wait to be flossing, shirt off.
Oh my gosh, that escalated so quickly.
Oh, I mean, I still have a shirt on, but it's gonna be off. But and I'm having brunch boots, and then Cuban Links. You know, I've been in the gym trying to get some bench presses in, get the nice little chest listening. By the time
you're definitely gonna be on somebody's TikTok.
By the time AOT 2023 roll around, you know, be out here, Mr. Brunch Boots. JK, a little bit.
If anybody's even still listening to this.
Oh, man. But thank y'all for listening to another season. We've really enjoyed your presence. And support, and we hope that you've enjoyed the laughs as well.
And please share in the meantime, because we got more followers in the meantime, more listeners in the meantime, so hopefully next season we can have more game.
Yeah, the biggest best season yet again. Yes.
Gang gang.
Oh man. So yeah, we'll talk about it off wax, but we will see y'all next year.
Maybe.
And probably see y'all in 2024 too at this rate. Catch you next time.
Bye.